Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio News. I'm Tom Cran in for Carrie Miller this morning. We're going to talk about a theater company now that does The Music Man, a Romeo and Juliet, and does those productions with the audience, often in folding chairs, in community centers, libraries, correctional facilities, homeless shelters. That's 10,000 Things. Its founder, Michelle Hensley, is here. Her new book is called All the Lights On, and in it, she says one of the principles is focus on telling the story with as much clarity and as few objects as possible. And by that, Michelle Hensley, I assume you mean as few props, sets, even minimal costumes as possible.
Yeah, and that is in large part because we tour. We take theater actually out of normal theater spaces, and we go to where underserved communities actually really are. And so the principle of 10,000 Things set design is, yeah, but do you want to carry it? Because the actors have to lug the set pieces up and down hallways and elevators and stairways. So that's just by necessity. But we've actually found that's actually a wonderful thing in a funny way to not have very many things.
We were just talking there about concert halls and the new concert hall that opens and the importance of a place to see something. But dare I say, with 10,000 Things, the emphasis is not on the place to see it. One thing that they were talking about, Bruce and Barry, and they were talking about the intimacy of seeing the musicians in a different way and maybe even watching them work and communicating. When I've been at a 10,000 Things performance, it's you're right there. I mean, the actors are looking at you, you're looking at them, and you're looking at the other members of the audience as well. How important is that intimacy to the theater?
It's hugely important. And again, this is sort of something, it all came about by necessity when I realized that I wanted to do theater for people who would really care about the stories, to whom the stories we were telling would matter to their lives. We found out some things, like a stage got in the way. We had to be able to perform in spaces that were just big rooms. And then we figured out by necessity we could triple the front row if we did it in the round, so a lot more people could have a front row seat. But it helps so much when the actors aren't far away on a stage up high, and when they're right on the same level as you and often only inches away. It really helped to pull in our audiences, our non-traditional audiences who had never seen theater before, many of them. It just put them right in the middle of the action, and that was hugely helpful. And then it turns out that our traditional theater audiences, people who pay to come see our shows and buy a ticket, they really love that intimacy and immediacy too.
And when you first hear about it, do you get resistance from people who are, let's say, traditional theater goers who say, wait, there's no set, there's no stage. How is this show going to, especially for a musical, do they say, how is this going to happen?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question people have in their minds. Actually, the hardest thing for a traditional audience, I think, but they get used to it pretty quickly, is that we don't have lighting. So we just have all the fluorescent lights in the room on.
And that's why the name of your book, I assumed, is All the Lights On. I was going to ask you about. So you always perform with all the lights on.
Always, yeah, because again, necessity, we can't really haul around lighting instruments and stuff. But then you find out that there's some wonderful blessings that come from that, which is that the actors get to see the audience. And usually they don't get to. They're sitting in the dark. And so the interaction between the audience and the actors becomes much richer and fuller. And then because we're sitting in the round, the audience can watch each other, and it sort of becomes a community, a much more of a community event than when they're sitting in the dark and they can't see each other. And then I guess
sitting sort of side by side watching in the dark.
Yeah, in the dark. That's right. And in some 10,000 Things shows, because we do perform in community spaces where traditional theater goers, maybe a guy who's a corporate CEO can come and sit next to a homeless person in the Dorothy Day Center. And so they can watch each other's responses to the play, and they learn from how someone perhaps from very different life experiences responds to the same story, and it becomes that much richer. So I guess, I mean, really, the idea behind All the Lights On is we've sort of figured out over these past 20 years in the Twin Cities a way of doing theater that can include all human beings, where no one is left out. And the sort of radiance that comes from when your imagination is engaged with a story told live by actors, it sort of lets everyone's light come on in a funny way.
And I want to ask about that and how you came upon that as an idea or a concept. I'm talking with Michelle Hensley and her book, All the Lights On, Reimagining Theater with 10,000 Things, is out. And so a lot of the time, 10,000 Things, my understanding is you're at Open Book in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
If there is a home place, that's the place where people buy tickets and go. But as often, you are... give us an example, for a real-life example, of places that you go and perform the same production we could see at Open Book. Where do you go?
Sure. So, well, right now we're doing The Unsinkable Molly Brown. It's our last weekend. But we have taken it to two women's correctional facilities and two men's, halfway house for a federal prison, a chemical dependency treatment center, a battered woman shelter. We have performed for clients from the Centers for Victims of Torture. We've performed at several adult ed centers for audiences of primarily immigrants, many who English is not their first language. And just this week, we toured to rural Minnesota. We went out to the Blue Earth area. So that play has been stretched every way you can imagine, because each audience brings its own experiences and can respond very differently than the audience we just performed for the day before. And it's really wonderful for the actors, too. They truly love being stretched like that.
Now, there are other theaters or arts organizations who do tours and don't perform in the same space all the time. But you're talking about a different level of engagement. Where did you first get the idea of going to a correctional facility? Or where did that light bulb go off?
Yeah, well, it really just came from, at the time I was living in Los Angeles, and LA theater audiences were pretty depressing to perform for, and I felt like they really would rather be watching TV or a movie. I mean, it's about TV and film in LA.
Right,
and I
right.
just didn't want to perform for them. It just didn't seem like they cared. They were sort of there out of a sense of duty and obligation. So when I tried to imagine who would care about the story of this Brecht play we wanted to do, which is really about how hard it is to be a good person when you don't have very much money, it seemed like people without very much money would really care about the story. It would speak to their lives in a certain way.
Are you saying the LA people had too much money to relate to that story? Do you
well,
think?
I think...
or theatergoers in general?
Yeah, well, you know, it, a lot of theater, I think the general theater audience is people who sit on a cushion of wealth, you know, people who can afford to buy tickets. When you take that cushion of wealth away, suddenly everything shifts in what's really important. And we found that we performed it at a homeless shelter in Santa Monica. And we found that once they got over their initial suspicion of us, that we were there to preach to them or tell them how to make their lives better, we were just trying to tell the story, they responded in this very deep and profound way, and they totally understood the situation of the characters. You know, they live their lives at the same extremes as the characters in Shakespeare or Greek tragedy. So in a lot of ways, they just understand it all better, and that makes us better artists as we try to truly match the intensity and depth of their experiences.
What kind of reaction do you get from those audiences that tell you that you think that they understand it better? Like, how do the actors and how do you as a director get that?
Yeah, it comes in several ways. It can come quite honestly in the form of advice shouted to the characters. They make lots of vocal comments.
Yeah. Like, give me an example of
that. Well, like, okay. You know, for example, in The Unsinkable Molly Brown, Molly is very reluctant to hook up with Johnny Brown. And when we were performing at the Women's Correctional Facility, more than once, like, inmates would shout out, "Honey, if you don't want him, I'll take him." Stuff like that. And it's so great when audiences care that much that they shout things out.
And how do the actors react to that?
They love it. I mean, they just think it's so fun. And most actors that work with 10,000 are very playful, and they can pick up something and run with it or play with it. And then it also sometimes happens, though, with the quality of the listening. I don't know how else to explain it, but, you know, for example, in a men's prison where the men tend to be much quieter, sometimes the listening at certain moments is so deep and so profound. You just feel them connecting the story with their life in a way that doesn't happen as often when you perform for audiences that sit on a cushion of wealth and quite honestly are more used to judging plays from an aesthetic distance. We also often find that when we perform for the general public, we have to also work to break down their barriers, which can be about, I paid $30 for this ticket. Is this going to be worth it? I've seen set designs I like better. I've seen other interpretations that work better for me. So you have to break down their critical point of view and get them to connect with the story, with their life, which is really what theater's all about. Is what is this play saying to you about your life, not what is it saying to you about other interpretations you've seen of it before?
And yet, if you go to some theater, it's undoubtedly you do compare what you've seen in other places and all. And here's what I want to ask you about is that this book, As I was reading through it, I thought to myself, this is, in a way, kind of a handbook for maybe other theaters to do more of this. Were you thinking along those lines? Sure, it's got plenty of stories of where you've been and where the theater company's been, but are you sort of leaving it like, you can try this too? Because I understand, I just saw news that in San Diego, there's a theater who's taking Shakespeare and doing it in similar situations that
you'd... Right. Yeah, well, there are now three theaters, the Public in New York City, California Shakespeare Theater in the Bay Area, and the Old Globe in San Diego, that have adopted our model and are doing Shakespeare this way. But in a funny way, and I'd hope other theaters will go outside of their buildings into the community to see what they can learn when they do. In a funny way, it's less a how-to book because I do think to do this, you have to be a really good theater artist. And it actually... Like, I actually don't want it to become something where, like, a college theater class will go do a play in a prison because it would be a neat experience for the students. It really takes the very best artists so that people who have never seen theater before will get a fantastic theatrical experience instead of a mediocre one. But I do hope it will provoke theater makers around the country to just ask questions and maybe get them to think about something they've been doing in a different way. And hopefully people will come up with their own ways of really reaching out to make sure that everybody is included in the audience, not just, you know, upper middle class white people, which tends to be the main audience. So hopefully it will provoke and inspire.
The book is All the Lights On, which is the way they do theater at 10,000 Things. Michelle Hensley, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun to talk to you.
I'm Tom Crennan for Carrie Miller, and this is NPR News. Stay with us.